Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. To begin with, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Again, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 through 42, Luke chapter 10. Then looking briefly in the Gospel of John, John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Verses 1 through 12, John chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again for your word that counsels us, guides us, empowers us in prayer, helps us to discern your calling, your wisdom, your insight, and your direction, and your empowerment in life. More and more, Father, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be a people that live in your word, that live in its power, in its grace. And thank you for the wonderful gift of your word which is pregnant with the ability to bless us, to strengthen us, to stir us to be more and more of the disciples and followers of you that you want us to be. Thank you for your wonderful word. Help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds with your word daily. And help us as parents to be wise enough to teach, train, and guide our children to do the same, to fill their minds and their hearts with your precious and powerful word. We thank you. We praise you. And Father, once again, we thank you for having blessed the Ten Commandments Project so as you have. Thank you for all the young people that participated, and thank you for how that your word has blessed and worked in their lives in the wonderful way that it has. Cause every seed planted in each of their lives to come to fruition 1,000,000-fold plus in the building of your kingdom. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're so thankful that we can open up your word and, in a sense, sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him speak to us. Your Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit directing us, pointing us to different scriptures, enlivening us, stirring our hearts. Thank you so much for this relationship we have with you, God, this communing we can have with you day by day. Help us to treasure that time. Help us to treasure your word more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And once again, want to remind our listeners, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio, and we're inviting you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. You know, Pete and the gang, they're getting excited. They are always excited about Bible Week, you know, National Truth for Youth Bible Week. So we're glad they're excited here. Again, American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering to provide the only hope, which is Jesus Christ, for teens as they return to school. We're inviting you to help us reach a generation of young people and get the Word of God back in schools as we help to dispel the darkness with the light of the gospel through the distribution of the popular Truth for Youth Bible to teens across our nation. Now, again, to explain how this project works, it's going on. It started yesterday, goes through this Friday. Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it on along to a friend at school this year. Keep in mind, the Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths from a contemporary perspective. And also, the Truth for Youth Bible is now available in Spanish as well. Over 1 million Truth for Youth Bibles have already been given away over the past 20 years as a result of this particular project. Our goal this year is to help get at least 60,000 Truth for Youth Bibles into the hands of teens. And remember, parents, you can order the Bible on behalf of your son or daughter who is a teen, or the teen can call to get one themselves. And you can also order larger quantities of the Bible just for yourself for only the low price of $2 a piece. Two ways to get the free Bible to order it. You can visit online, truthforyouth.com. Again, truthforyouth.com to order online anytime. Or you can call 1-800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737. Keep in mind, this is a project whereby we can help our young people get involved in the great work of helping to carry out the Great Commission, the sharing of the gospel. Again, these New Testaments are wonderful evangelism tools and discipleship tools as well. But I want to challenge every listener. I would encourage you, even if you don't have a teen in your home and you don't fit the category of the ones who are able to get them for free, the prices, they're only $2 a piece. I would encourage every listener to order one so you can see the tool for yourself, because the comics at the front of the New Testament are a unique tool, that a very entertaining way to share truths that are very much at work in our culture today from a Bible perspective. And so it's a great evangelism tool for teens, but actually it's a good evangelism tool for adults as well. But I would encourage, again, every listener, order a Bible for yourself so you can see how it works. And I would encourage you and or your church to order some, because they're wonderful evangelism tools that you can use. So I hope that you will take the time to do that. Once again, to order them, go to truthforyouth.com, order online anytime, or you can call 1-800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. Hope that you'll take time to get involved in this wonderful outreach. Hope you'll do that. We are blessed and we are honored to have once again Sister Abina Banda. She's the director of a ministry. You know, Pete and the gang, we didn't hear from them the last time Abina was on, but they're excited that she came back again to be with us so soon. Again, Sister Abina Banda, and she's the director of the ministry entitled Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. Sister Abina, how are you today?
I am doing well. I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you?
Great. Great to have you back with us. And I want to ask if you once again introduce yourself and also tell our listeners about the ministry entitled Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. And hello to the American Family Radio family. I hope you're doing well. It is such a blessing to be here again with you through Pastor Parker. Mm-hmm. And Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. Well, he already mentioned my name. I'm Abina Banda. Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer actually came about sometime last year. I have a group of friends, you know, they're kind of sweet, C-suite women. I noticed that when we have to talk about the things of God, they were very passionate, but outside our little meeting, they were not comfortable sharing God. They were not comfortable praying in the Spirit. So I started just kind of noticing a trend every time I'd go somewhere, you meet, you know, corporate environments and stuff, you'd meet women like me, and then they would talk about Jesus a little bit, but they don't want to, like, what is the discomfort here? And so when we started doing like a little focus group to try to figure out, how can we make Jesus cool? How do we get people to not talk about Jesus only when they're in their closet at home, but how can they come out and publicly proclaim the name of God? And a lot of women talked about how they don't look like, they've kind of defined what a Christian woman looks like, you know, all low flat shoes and all kinds of stuff. I said, no. I think Jesus loves you just as you are. Show up in your red heels and your red lipstick, whatever it is. So we started to reach out to women who love the Lord, getting them in our circle so that they will be comfortable. But most importantly, we are developing and building these women to be prayer warriors. So I said, listen, let nobody despise you because they think you have a red lipstick on and high heels on. If you could be a praying woman in heels, that's what we need in the kingdom. So we started getting together. We pray. I have people in London that will get on the line. It's every Thursday evening. We do it via Zoom, and we pray. We pray. And there is an amazing manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I realize that these women are now opening up. They're able to share God wherever they are, even on their social media. You know, it's not like God is not tarnishing their brand. Let me put it that way. Because at first it's all like, well, you can't talk about Jesus if you're in a certain environment. And I said, well, we could talk about everything else. Why can't we talk about God? Mm-hmm. So this is really how it started. And our mission is really to raise women to be able to proclaim the name of the Lord wherever you are without fear or without worry. And most importantly, do it as you through your personality. Hmm. One of the things the Holy Spirit shared with me was he manifests through people based on your personality. So I've seen people sometimes that pray quietly and they go, you know, I can't pray louder. I said, no, that's who you are. That's your character. The Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to pray as loud as Abina prays or as calm as Abina. You have to understand the Holy Spirit uses our personality to manifest. So if you are this loving, fun person, it will come out that way. And I remember I did a ministration, and one pastor came out and said, you know, you bring a feminine side of the Holy Spirit. And we started laughing together. I said, you know, you all thought the Holy Spirit was a man, right? He can also manifest through a woman. So mm-hmm. I think that was really confirmation. I love listening to you, Abina, because you have this feminine way of presenting the Word of God. And I said, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He uses our personality to draw people to him. Mm-hmm. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. He didn't say how. He said, just lift me up, and mm-hmm. I'll do the drawing. So that's mm-hmm. how Holistic High Heels and Prayer came about. And our goal was to reach women globally. We mm-hmm. have some from London that join us. All over East Coast, West Coast. Some days there are fewer men, some days there are more. Depending on the time, too. Time zones doesn't matter. And there's this lady that consistently, it's like 2, 3 a.m., wherever he is, but he would consistently call in so we can pray. And we do a lot of intercessory prayer. We pick up topics that are happening, things that are happening in women's lives, our personal lives, you know. As women, we have certain trends. It could be marriages, relationships, children. It's very similar. So we are able to come together in agreement and stand and pray. And we've seen the Lord move in people's lives. So that's what it was. The long explanation for that short name.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to explain that because, you know, the kingdom of God covers everything. And it's so good for us to understand that God is to be glorified and his name to be lifted up in every setting and in every situation. And it's all to be for his glory. So I appreciate you taking that time. We'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Sister Abina Banda. She's the director of the ministry Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. We'll be right back.
One by one they fall into perfect peace. You know everything. You listen through my anxious thoughts with compassion. One by one they fall into perfect peace. So I will be still. Oh, I will be still. And know that you are. Know that you are God. Every wall I face, every giant, every lasting chain, every lion, one by one they fall into perfect peace. So I will be still. Oh, I will be still. And know that you are. Know that you are God. Oh, I will be still. Oh, I will be still. And know that you are.
The music of Amanda Lindsay Cook. The song simply entitled Still. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Sister Bina Bonda. She's the director of Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. And Sister Bina, as we begin this segment, I want to ask if you'll pray for listeners, wherever they might be, pray for the Spirit of God to speak to them and to minister to them during this time. Would you please?
Yes, sir. Father God, we thank you and we bless you, O Lord. Papa, we come before your throne again this minute, O Lord. And Lord, we are asking that you do what you do best, Lord. You do not convict a man. There is nothing that we would say that will draw them to you. Papa, we are here to lift your name up, O Lord. And your word says, if you be lifted up, you glorify yourself and you will draw all men to you. So Lord, I pray that anybody listening this minute, anyone that will listen afterward, anyone that would even go back and replay and replay. Every minute, every second that they replay, every minute, every second that they are here, may your Holy Spirit, O Lord, engulf them. Your Spirit that is peace, that is love. Your Spirit that speaks and no man can reverse. Your Spirit, O God, that brings understanding even in confusion. We are asking, O God, that you manifest yourself largely in the name of Jesus, O Lord. And Father, draw souls to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, thank you also for Sister Bina as she shares about her work and her ministry. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give to all of us to be bold witnesses for you, Father. And thank you for the privilege we have of being able to cooperate with you, to be vessels you can use to, and you can reach through to accomplish your will. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of boldness and courage. Help us to recognize that you call us to continually move in the spirit of boldness and courage as we witness for you, as we are vessels through which your love and your mercy and your grace can be poured out on the world. Help us to live fully as fully available vessels as well, bold and available all the time in the hands of your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sister Bina, just before we get into what you're going to be sharing, you know, something I want to mention. I appreciate you addressing the issue of the need for us as believers to be bold and upfront for our witness, because too often we see the world and the kingdom of darkness as being loud, bold, and brash. And we in the kingdom of God have reason to be bolder than anybody or anything else. We have Jesus on the inside of us. We have the Spirit of God at work in us and through us. We have every reason to be bold and bright for the kingdom of God. So being a bright witness is such an important thing. So thank you for sharing that. So, but you had something on your heart you wanted to share with our listeners today.
Yes, sir. I was actually studying Jeremiah the prophet last week. And I got to Jeremiah 29. And, you know, very often we all know Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans that I have for you. And most believers can literally, we can rattle it off.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was reading, I said, oh, okay, I'm reading it again for probably the 100 billionth time. But then the Holy Spirit called my attention to something. Like, that's not what I want you to read. I want you to read from 10 to 14. And then I read it the first time. And then I read it again. I said, okay, well, this is the Israelites. Jeremiah is telling them how they're going to come out of Babylon in exile. And the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, said, yes, I want you to talk about coming out of exile. And I said, well, God, people are not in exile. I mean, we are in our homes, right? Everybody's hanging out. People are free. This is a free country, the free world. So that kind of exile mentality is not where we are. And it's like, I'm not talking about reality. And I think at that moment, he tried to get me to go a little deeper beyond words. I did English literature back in college years ago, decades ago. So I take words as they are, right, and then break it down. But it's like, you're using your human thinking right now. I want you to think in the spirit. Yes, this is a free world, and people are free moving around and everything. But, and then he asked me a question, what happens in exile? That's what I want you to focus on. It's not about somebody being in exile per se, but I want you to focus on what happens when people are in exile. And then as I started to download in my spirit all the things I could think of, it was like somebody was just reading them to me. And the first thing was like desperation. People are desperate. So this was God trying to get me to put myself in the shoes of things that are going on in people's lives. You know, the interesting thing about the world is we are very individually minded. And we sit in our homes, we sit in our, you know, offices and stuff. Sometimes you'll be even in a work environment with people and you don't even know what's going on with them personally. And we've actually developed a defense mechanism of hiding who we are, hiding our pain, because nobody wants to walk around looking gloomy all the time. Nobody wants to be the one that all walks into a room and everybody's like sad. So people are even smiling through their tears, and we miss it. So when this whole encounter and this whole thing was down, the Holy Spirit, I literally was on the floor crying. Like, it's very easy for us to be very disconnected to the things that are happening in people's lives. And I have to call myself, you know, blessed to even have had that moment, however long it was like 30 minutes, and I felt everything that the Holy Spirit was downloading on my spirit. That people are desperate. People are desperate, especially within the last year and a half with this whole pandemic situation. There's a lot of desperation. There's a lot of fear. I said, my God. He says, yes, fear. That unpleasant emotion that is caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous or something, fear. People are living in fear. There is a lot of sadness. And then if that's the way, and the interesting thing with the Holy Spirit, he will give you a chance to feel it as you are hearing it in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I started feeling afraid. I said, yes, this is what I'm trying to describe to you. I said, oh my goodness. And then from nowhere, I get so saddened. And I want to tell you how even this was. I had finished a ministration with a girls group, and almost all their mothers were calling to thank me how they can't even talk to their daughters, and they can't even get their daughters to ask them the questions they asked me. And Pastor, I should have been happy.
Mm-hmm.
But then this was after this after I read Jeremiah, I started crying. I was so sad in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And I said, why am I sad? People are giving me compliments. Why am I sad? And then the Holy Spirit just reminded me, this is how it could feel like. That even when there's something good happening, people are thinking of the worst, the things that they've been through. They can't seem to even celebrate and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, this is a little hard for me. Like, if I have to really live out all these emotions, I'll be completely distraught at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about hopelessness. Like, people can't see a way out. they can't see a way out. And last Saturday, I was doing administration, and God was just showing me, like, this woman was pacing back and forth her room and hitting the wall. It's like, she wants to get out, but there's no hope. She can't seem to find a way out. I said, oh, my God. And then it's like, people feel helpless. We're in a country, we're in a nation where there's so much resources and help, but there are people who feel like they can't find help. Mm-hmm. They feel like this is going to be the end of the last of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, and this is all like what he was describing to me, how people feel when they're in exile. And then there's this dehumanizing, you know, nature or feeling. And then he talks about panic, that uncontrollable fear or anxiety. Causing wildly unthinking behavior. And then he takes me on to people, how they feel panic attacks. And I don't know what panic attacks feel like. But then all of a sudden I stepped and I said, what is happening to me? But this was God trying to get me to feel. You know, the good thing about the Holy Spirit is, he makes you go through the things you're going to be saving people from. And so I encourage people all the time. I said, do not waste your pain. Do not waste your pain. When you're walking through that fire, keep going. Keep going, because when you come out of it, I call it the furnace of affliction and refinement. When you come out of it, that thing that you come out of is what God is going to use you to feel. So you cannot show compassion to someone where you don't know what mercy looks like. When you've been in a situation where someone had to show you mercy, you would understand what it means when it says forgive 70 times, seven times. You will forgive. Because you know what mercy looks like. And then he talks about how people in exile feel confused. There's confusion. There is so much confusion. One minute they're hearing this, one minute they're hearing that. Satan is like up in their ears, telling them, negating everything that God is saying to them. So they are distraught. They're in the rooms and, okay, God is saying this. The man of God or the pastor prayed, the pastor said this. The pastor gave me hope, but then you go right back to your room, and Satan is like, oh, he's just talking. The pastor's got everything made up for him. He has people taking care of him, but you're here alone. And that's what Satan does all the time. And then he talks about pain. People are in pain. Pain. And he actually tries to distinguish pain and anguish for me. And I was like, people are in pain, but people are actually in anguish. And I said, this is how people feel, right? That deep and enduring physical, mental, spiritual distress. See, even if it was a spiritual side, you could tell people, sometimes people can be spiritually distressed and then they are physically okay. But now you have a lot of people in spiritual distress, physical distress, mental distress, and everything seemed to be going helter-skelter. And I said, God, what do we do? How do we help? I mean, we can help without your help. So what's the thing? And he's like, you know, there is a promise. There is a promise of redemption. I said, really? And then he takes me back to read again. Jeremiah 29. And then he goes back. He says, when 70 years were completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. I've stopped to read the Bible literally, right? You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because I looked at 70 years, I said, it cannot be 70 years for most people. Some people, if you don't show up this month, if you don't show up this week, this will be it. And I said, that's not what I mean. There's no time. God is in and out of time. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. What I'm saying is there is a promise that I will fulfill my promise to my people. And I said, well, how? He said, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I love the Complete Jewish Bible. That's really what I use as my study Bible. It says, for I know what plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai. Plans for well-being, not for bad things, so that you can have hope in the future. I said, God, thank you. Thank you, because I do not know how to make people believe that you have this promise is real in your life. He said, here's how we're going to come out of this. So it's like me and the Holy Spirit just having a field day. That's it. He said, here is how we're going to come out. He said, when you call to me, and then he takes me back to the next verse. He said, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. I said, okay. Step number one, we have to pray. We have to pray. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says something beautiful here. He said, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. So I said, wow. It's like he kept me on Jeremiah. I said, okay. So we have to pray. People, we have to pray. People of God, we have to pray. I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know what you're feeling right now. But he's saying that you will pray. You will pray to me. You will call to me. You will come to me. You will call upon the name of the Lord. And he said, I will hear you. So I said, okay, there's a difference between hearing and answering, right? Because there are times in the scripture where you see the God says, I will answer you. But he said, he will hear you.
Sister Bina, we're coming up on a break and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Sister Bina Banda, the director of the ministry Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. We'll be right back. Music of Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Sister Bina Banda. She's the director of the ministry to women, Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. Sister Bina, if you'll pick up right there where you left off, okay?
Yes, sir. And as I was explaining right before the break, I said, well, there's a difference between hear and answer. So if God is saying, I will hear you, I said, God, what about the answer? And then he says, keep reading. So I said, okay. He says, you will seek me and find me. We're still in Jeremiah 29, verses 13. You will seek me and find me. And then he explains, you can seek somebody. Now, if a person does not want you to find them, you can never find them. It's like kids playing hide and seek, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes as a parent, you get so tired of them looking and you feel bad for them. You say, okay, here I am, come catch me. But mm-hmm. he said, you will seek me and find me. And then it said, when you seek me, I like what the Jewish Bible said. I'm going to move from my ESV Bible. It says here. Mm-hmm. He gave a condition. I said, God, there are people that are praying. People are praying to you. People are seeking you. I've seen genuine passion and hunger in people wanting to see you, wanting to know you, wanting to have you manifest in their lives. He says, keep going, keep reading. I said, okay. And I love what the CJB said. He said, when you seek me, you'll find me, provided you seek me wholeheartedly. I said, that's it. He said, says, and then the 14th says, and I will let you find me. So it's not like we are not seeking. We are not praying enough. The question is, are we doing it wholeheartedly? Are we seeking God in sincerity and commitment? I said, oh, okay. Because sometimes our prayers have been very selfish. Our prayers have been me, myself, and I. Our prayers have been, you know, God, do this for me so I can prove that me too, I can do this. You know, if you do, if you fix this in my life, so people will stop, you know, laughing at me, people will come and admire me. And so it has really convoluted our prayer. But he gave a condition, he said, provided you seek me wholeheartedly, I will let you find me.
Well, Sister Bina, you know, something I would just mention in relation to what you're sharing is that on the one hand, and I think this relates powerfully to what you're saying, sometimes a person can seek God for what he can do for them or to get his help, but they don't necessarily want to do what he wants them to do. They want him for relief. And a need for us is to fully place ourselves in God's hands and submit to him in his word and his will as well. And so I think that's powerfully, in part, what you seem to be touching on.
Thank you, sir. And he said, we have to give our will to him, but half of the time, like he said, we want to hold on to our will. And so he came seeing to, he's like, I want to bless you, but what you're asking is not in, in the will that I have for you. So if you will let go and let me be God, I am the God of all flesh. If you will let me be, I will know how and what to do to bring you to that expected end. He says, seek me wholeheartedly. And then I said, okay. And then he says, then I will reverse your exile. So whatever feeling, whatever you're doing, he says, I will reverse it. I will reverse it. And he goes on to say, talk about how he's going to restore, that there is restoration at the end of it. It's not like I'm bringing you back to the same place and let you sit there. I will restore. He said, I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you and bring you to a place that I exiled you from. So, and then he starts downloading all these scriptures. If you keep reading to Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, I will turn your mourning into joy. There's so many things there, and I said, wow. So all these tears, he's going to wipe them out. And then he talks about how he promises us peace in Jeremiah 33. He says, I will bring you peace. I will bring you peace. And then it took me to Psalm 102, verse 13. He says, you will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show her favor. The appointed time has come. So I want to speak, and I agree with Pastor Parker in the spirit and the physical. And as we stand here today, I am speaking to you wherever you are, in your room, wherever you are, in your car. There's a gentleman that called me last week, Pastor, after the broadcast. He said he was at work in the night, and he was listening to you. He listens to you all the time. And he's like, I've never heard a young lady pray in the spirit on Pastor Parker's stuff. So I had to call you to say thank you. And he said he doesn't even take a lunch break, but this minute he decided to take a lunch break and listen to you, Pastor. And so he was going to grab lunch, and then he heard us, and he said he was so blessed. So you could be anywhere at this point. I don't know what is making you desperate. And it could be anything, from money to health to family problems. I don't know what is causing that fear. Do you know fear is a spirit? Anything that has a name is a spirit. It is such a powerful spirit. You need three spirits to cast it out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You need a spirit of power, you need a spirit of love, and you need a spirit of sound-mindedness. So fear, and fear waits. But, you know, Satan literally waits. Every other spirit waits for fear to kick in before they start manifesting. Once fear is like the door opener to everything. I don't know where you are, if you're feeling sad in your spirit. If you're feeling hopeless, you're like, you know what? You don't even understand. You probably look at Vina, you will never even understand. Oh, try me. I tell people, I said, try me. You don't know my testimony. You don't know my story. I have not seen anything that God cannot do yet in my life. I don't know. And whatever God cannot do, I don't think that thing is even created, is it? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth.
That's right.
I mean, he put a coin in the mouth of a fish. What is it that he cannot do? My God, if you are in that place of panic, if you are feeling lack, You look around you, you have to literally pinch all these coupons, and it's still not even enough to get you a bag of groceries. I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, we're going to pray. I want you to really see yourself in others. And if I didn't even mention your case, whatever you're feeling, that doesn't mean that you're not feeling something. God is saying that these feelings are putting you in exile, away. It's barring you from Him. So He is restoring. He is going to restore. He says in Joel chapter 2, He said, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The years. God will restore your time. People talk about restoration, and we're always talking about things. We're talking about, you know, things. But I can assure you right now, if you do not have time to enjoy your health, you would not eat. It would be restored, but you need time. Time is a currency that is so powerful in the spirit. If God can restore your time, and every time you hear about restoration, God wasn't talking about things. He will restore time because time is powerful. He said, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. In Jeremiah 30, verse 17, so if you're feeling like I've spent the last 10 years in bedridden for whatever reason, God is saying, I will restore health to you. Your wounds I will heal. That was a declaration. He wasn't even mentioning that I am declaring this to you. And the psalmist says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And that's our prayer. So I pray for you. Papa, you asked me to share this with the world. Papa, you know where they are. You know where they are, Holy Spirit. You know where they are. Even the ones that are smiling to everybody and they go to their home and shut the door and lay on the floor and cry their heart out because they are feeling helpless and hopeless, Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord. The Father, let your spirit find them wherever they are. Wherever they are this minute, O God. That person that is in panic, the person that is feeling fear, afraid. They don't know what to do. That person that is out there saying, God, if you do not come, I will not make it, O God. Father, for some of us, you are not an option. You are everything we have. For most people out there, you are not an option. They don't choose you over anything else. You are their all in all. Papa, this is the time to favor your children. This is the time to get your children out of this exile. This is the time to get your children out of every demonic oppression. This is the time to get your children out of anything that does not speak your glory. Because whatever you have for us is good. So if there is any bad thing in our lives, you did not put that mark on us. Jesus, we are not asking because we deserve it. We are not asking even because we've earned it, O God. We are asking because of your mercy. Have mercy, O God. We are asking because of your compassion. We are asking, O Lord, because if you know people out there feeling this way, God, that means you want to show favor. That means you want to deliver. That means that you want to, O Lord, bring them to fullness, O God. That means, Jesus, you want to bring them to joy. Father, create in them a willing spirit, joy. Let them experience the joy of your salvation, O Lord. I speak to every mental illness that has been given such a beautiful, fancy name. You said you are God of peace. You give a spirit of sound mindedness, O Lord. Situations that have caused people, O Lord, to be losing their minds. They can't sleep, O Lord. They are awake all night worrying about their life. But the Bible says you neither slumber nor sleep. So between you and them, who is Lord? Father, we are asking you to be Lord. Give them peace in their lives. Peace in their lives, O God. Peace in their lives, O God. Heal their bones, O God. And Father, restore. So many people have lost so much within the last year. God of mercy, the God that restores, O God, restore. Restore not just their things, not just their jobs, not just their monies. Papa, restore their time. Give them double for their shame. Instead of dishonor, let them rejoice in their lot, O God. Let them possess a double portion and let them have everlasting joy. And Father, just like Job, Give them twice as much as they had before. We bless your holy name. We thank you for this opportunity, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me say to every person listening, before we end our time today, if you're listening and you've never made the step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Today is a good day to give your heart to the Lord. He's the answer to all of our problems. He's the only hope of the world. Would you take time to pray this prayer with me now if you'd like to give your life to the Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins, and 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you prayed and received Christ, please email us. Let us know. We'd like to share some resources that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Sister Bina, if someone wants to get in touch with you or contact your ministry, how can they do that?
Yes, sir. I'm happy to give my phone number.
Okay.
Because I like to talk to humans.
All right.
It is 240-328-3255. 240-328-3255. And my website is abinabonda.com, and it is A-B-E-N-A, and then my last name is Bonda, B-O-N-D-A-H. But I'd like to speak to people, so yeah, please feel free to call me.
All right.
Let's pray together.
Sister Bina, thank you so much for being with us today and letting the Lord use you as he did. Thanks again for being with us. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray much for Sister Bina Bonda and her ministry. Again, she's the director of Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.